Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Writing Mama Show at BTR's World of Ink Network. Be prepared to call in later and chat with our hosts, V.S. Grenier, Marcia Casper-Cook, myself, J.D. Holliday, and our very special guest today, Karen Siafi, here at BTR's World of Ink Network, the Writing Mama Show. It's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on June 10th, 2011. As always, the Writing Mama Show can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you like at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. As I mentioned, we'll be taking your calls till the end of the show. And if you'd like to call in and ask a question of our guest, the phone number is 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259. Or you can join us here in the chat room at Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, everyone. You always do such great opening, Jan. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
This is V.S. Grenier, and we're not going to go over our whole entire background. And, of course, J.D. Holliday, which is Jan, and then Marcia Cook. So we're all writers. Marcia is the only one who has agent tagged to her as well and script writing. But other than that, we all pretty much write and edit and Jan illustrates. So that's a little bit of who we are. We're excited to have Karen Siafi with us. She's an author, a ghostwriter, a freelance writer. She's a member of the International Association of Professional Ghostwriters. She's also with the Professional Writers Alliance, the National Association of Independent Writers and Editors. She also is the founder of the VBT, which is the Virtual Book Tour Network, which is the Yahoo group that I'm a member of, and she has extensive background with basically marketing, and it's really exciting too, which we'll have Karen get into as well. She's going to also be offering a free ebook, which is titled Writing, Publishing, and Marketing, You Can Do It, which is a step-by-step guide to help you over the hurdles of marketing. So we'll have Karen share a little bit about that with us, and so welcome to the show, Karen. We're glad to have you with us tonight here on the Writing Mama Show.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I'm thrilled to be here.
Karen, we're excited to have you because, I mean, I've been a member of your Yahoo group for some time, and Carolyn Howard Johnson, who basically was probably one of the biggest people when I first started writing back in 2005, 2006, who really pushed me to not just make it my hobby, but to be more passionate about what I do, is also a member of the group. And I know you and Carolyn both work together on helping the authors of our group, anyways, to build our author platform in the online world. And so I know you, from everything you sent me, you said that you've done a lot of teleclasses and workshops. I know you've attended a lot of those as well. Can you just kind of share how you got into basically becoming, pretty much an expert on, and I know everybody goes, what do you mean an expert? I'm always learning. But compared to a lot of people I know, you are more of an expert in the marketing and especially online marketing realm. So how did that come about?
That originated with the Muse Conference in October of 2008. Mm-hmm. Denise Cassino, who's a publicist, was giving a workshop. And I attended it, and she encouraged us to form a virtual touring group together for all those attendees of the workshop. So I took it upon myself to do that, and I contacted everyone in the group, and that was my first initiation into online marketing. And I started the group, and we specifically were a virtual tour. Each month we would host another member, and
right.
It's evolved greatly since then. We changed the name to Writers on the Move, and we're kind of doing away with the virtual tours now, only because it's become so overdone. And, I mean, in the marketing trend, it's not as effective. It's good. It helps, but it's not as effective as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a multiple of different strategies to effectively promote you and your book. And that's how I originally got started, and then just a lot of teleseminars, you know, listening. And that's pretty much how I did it, you know, the work. You have to put the work in.
Well, that's right. Yeah. This is Marcia talking. Yeah, that's really true. You know, like there, if you don't want to do the work, then you're not going to get out there. It's just simple. I mean, you know, I never really believed as much as the last couple of years that I've been doing. This is what I do nonstop now. You know, I want to write more. Virginia, we all do. And the fact is, if you don't market, you don't sell.
That's it in a nutshell. Especially if you have other areas, like if you're a ghostwriter or something else. You need to have your name out there, and that includes article marketing, which is an excellent way of bringing attention to you. You know, it's a much wider audience that you're reaching when you do article marketing. And, I mean, I get calls from people all over the place that saw my name online connected with either ghostwriting for children or ghostwriting for businesses. And that's how you create your platform and your expert. You know, your expertness. So, it's work. You have to pay attention to what's going on and then, you know, walk the walk.
Well, I got an email from you. I got an email from you, I think, and you were saying a few things, and then I sent it to Virginia. I go, like, well, what do you think about this? And she says, oh, no, we're having her on the show. I go, okay, fine, you know. This would be good.
Yeah, I get around.
Well, you know, Karen, I wanted to bring up, you brought up a really great point, you know, because, like I said, I am part of the Writers on the Move group, and right now I'm taking a break just because I'm so busy with everything I'm doing with Stories for Children and here on the World of Ink Network with Marcia and Jan. But I know for a while everybody was, you know, constantly just, like, interviewing each other for their blog posts. And you really pushed to say, you know, that doesn't get as much of a response. You know, try and do, like, a book spotlight or, you know, have them do, like, a guest post. And I'm just curious because, I mean, I noticed that when I do stuff like that through the World of Ink tours, I mean, yeah, the interviews are great, but when we do more book reviews, author spotlights where we talk about the author and, like, the types of books they write and why they write them, or have the author do a guest post for us on the different hosting sites, that more traffic seems to, you know, show up, I guess.
Absolutely.
You know, more people tend to go.
Yeah, this is an information world. People want to find out things. They want to know, how did you do it? Maybe I can do it also. And with the virtual tours, the way they used to be, it was primarily promotion. And that doesn't work anymore. People are too busy. I mean, the new thing is even through Google, you have like a second or two to grab visitors' attention with your website. If you have a slow-loading website, you're in trouble. And I know this from me, because if I go to a site that takes more than a couple of seconds, I'm gone. I don't have the time. So these are all strategies.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say something about that. Go ahead.
These are all strategies that, you know, marketing is an ever-evolving commodity. It's not like writing. Writing is, you know, if you were doing it 100 years ago, there were basics that are still here today. Marketing is another animal. It's changing constantly. And the trends, I mean, you have to try to see what works, what doesn't work, and that takes, you know, it takes doing it and seeing how one particular strategy works, how another doesn't, and moving along with it.
See, I know this is going to come up. You know, the fact of the matter is, like most people, they, you know, certainly now with the economy being what it is, they can't afford to have PR firms taking care of them. do you have an idea of, like, what it might cost somebody? You know, I mean, I know there's so many things that they can do, but what do you think their cost would be to do a small, just to get themselves out there? You know, it's never small because you got to do a lot of things, but the problem is a lot of people don't want to pay anything, and I don't think that works anymore.
You know what? It's getting much tougher to do it on your own now.
Right.
I've actually never used a publicist. I think they can be really helpful because they have a lot more connections than you might have or me. But there are so many things that you can do on your own first. I would always go the grassroots route first.
Yeah.
And then if you find you're not, you know, getting where you want to be, then look into a publicist. Now, like I said, I've never used them, so I don't know what it would cost.
Yeah. Because, you know, the grassroots, I've been doing this for a long time, but I think it's overwhelming now for people because it's overwhelming to me because I go on one site and I'm like, you know, if it's not in 2 seconds, see, I'm a clicker, that's what I do. I keep clicking, and that's the worst thing. If it takes a long time, I'm gone too. I'll come back later, but the thing is, but a lot of people don't even know where to begin. So, like, what would you say would be a good beginning for somebody? Like, they wrote a book. What should they do?
Prior to having it published or self-publishing it, they should have their website set up, and they should be trying to bring some traffic to that site, which can be through the primary inbound marketing technique is regular postings of information. I mean, it could be something that's entertaining also, but it has to be something that the viewer is going to benefit from in one way or another. So that's the first primary thing. Then after that, I would say to do the article marketing. It does work, and it brings traffic to your site. It gives you a much larger audience that you can't possibly get on your own. And there's so many sites out there, article directories now. I happen to use eZine Articles, but I've used Associated Content, which is connected with Yahoo now. There's just Helium. There's just so many. RiseSnare. I don't use all of them. A lot of people will market, you know, to 10, 20, even 30 more of these directors. I just don't have the time to do it.
Well, that, see, that's
and I don't
the thing.
Like
it does
the
take
idea.
A lot of time. It takes a lot of time.
Oh, yes. And I don't like the idea of putting it through, you know, a program to spin it and send it out. Because, I mean, I've got hacked with so much of my own work on sites, even pornography sites, that spin it so poorly that it's actually damaging to a reputation of a writer, aside of being associated with.
Well,
with
right.
Well,
so do you mean they're coming on your Facebook, or is that what you mean? They come. They
grab
find?
My articles, whether they're getting them from my my sites or from probably from the eZine, the article directories. But this is common to most writers, and your articles. Even they'll take your name. I mean, I've had my name in children's books associated with music sites.
Yeah,
it's
the
crazy.
Thing nobody really knows. There's so much out there. There's no way to monitor it. You can't monitor it.
Oh, you can't. I get, you know, I have the Google alerts, which is important for authors and writers to put on their work. And every now and then I'll get a thing saying, you know, it's over here. And I look. I pay attention. And I, like I said, I've seen myself on some bad sites.
Yeah.
And there's
that.
Nothing you can do.
No, right.
I mean,
okay.
I try to contact, you know.
You just forget it. You just move on then, I guess.
You have
but,
to,
yeah,
unless
yeah.
you want to hire an attorney. I can't
no.
afford that.
Well, I was going to say, Karen, because with Threads for Children, you know, I use Google Alerts a lot. I mean, I use it obviously for myself as an author, but as an editor, I use it for, you know, everything that's on my Threads for Children and websites, either the magazine or the main company site. You know, I've seen stuff that comes up and I – all the time where my name gets tagged into like some really crazy stuff or like titles of you know, of stories from either my authors or myself that have been tied to certain stuff. And I found a good majority of the time, if I send it an email, you know, contact, you know, whoever,
yeah.
whoever their web person is and just say, hey, look, you know, this isn't supposed to be here, blah, 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 blah. A lot of times they'll take it down right away and they're pretty good about it. I've only had like one person get snippy with me and
you've been lucky.
Yeah.
You've been lucky. I haven't had one person, especially on the raunchy sites, that have even commented about it or gotten back to me in any form. I've even gone so far as to contact the hosting site. And pretty much they tell you you're at your own mercy, you know, hire an attorney.
Yeah, see, I think what's bad now is, I mean, I think so, like, what people do have to be careful about what they write in there, though, because, you know, like, you know, you don't really want to damage anybody's career or you don't want to say anything very negative, you know, because I'm always careful. Certainly now we are, you know, I never said anything before, but the fact now, certainly being on the radio, you just cannot say anything because it's not a right thing to do. You have to be very careful, and I think people feel they could just write anything or say anything these days, and that's not true, because I see on the websites, I'm going around now, which I didn't do before, and even on the Facebook, I'm taking off the things I don't like what they're saying, you know, because I don't even want it on my site, you know, and that's ruining it for a lot of people now. See, what's going to happen is something else will have to change, because I think people are not paying attention to, I can see on Facebook, it's a different kind of message that's coming out sometimes, and I don't know if people are just not even paying attention anymore because there's so much on there, and some of it isn't good. It's I don't really need to know everybody's opinion on everything, you know.
Yeah,
and
Karen,
I'm sorry. Jan. Karen, I understand what you say. I found my articles. I found my books on places I never even posted them. And but one good thing did happen to me. I wrote an article about how to put, this is back before Kindle took PDF files, and how to get your ebook on Kindle, and Amazon actually took it and put it on their blog, and they didn't ask me or anything, but I felt really good about that.
Hey, that's
sometimes
publicity. That's great.
That's happened.
Well, that's a good thing.
Sometimes it's a good thing that people pick up your article that goes virtual, but it's when these sites that are either pure promotion for whatever or unscrupulous sites that you have a problem.
Right.
You know, and especially if they're using your article and they use a spinning software that's terrible, the article is horrid. It's not comprehensible. And your name, they keep your name at the bottom of it. That drives me crazy.
Because they want people that know you to go in there. That's, you know, that's the whole thing.
And if a client picks that up, plugging in my name on a search, this is what they're going to see in reference to me.
Yeah.
So that gets me annoyed. That gets me annoyed.
So I guess people just have to, this is Marcia, I guess they really have to watch what they do now. I think, you know, as opposing, even 5 months ago, people were just putting everything out there, but I think now you have to do a more controlled, you know, surrounding of what you're doing and what you're putting on and who you want to, you know, talk about or what you want to do, you know. I mean,
even when you do that, these sites, I don't know why they pick up authors like that, but they do, and they just spin articles to... The gibberish, I've never seen anything like it. It's just crazy. So, you know, you can try to control
it. I think it's just to have something to post on their sites, you know, Karen?
That
I think
very
it's just
well
so they have, and so they're saying, oh, look, this might work, you know, for this month or this week or whatever. And so we all get caught up in that, you know, we have no control, like you said. So, you know, it's just horrible.
Yeah, so I think, you know,
Google,
I think that's... Go ahead, Google.
Google cracked down on that somewhat. They, you know, they were trying to crack down on the spam sites because they were really getting out of control, where it would affect your ability to search for something and find a good site. So they cracked down on it a little bit, and it helped with search engine optimization for writers who have quality content. So that was a good thing. But, you're really at whoever wants to pick you up, mercy.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to get your article, nothing you can do about it.
And you do a lot with self-publishing? Because, you know, this is...
My first children's book was self-published, and only because I was starting out and I was in a rush, impatient.
Right.
I don't know if I were to start today, if I would have taken that route necessarily. I might have. But it's changed so much, and this was in early 2008.
Yeah.
And it's changed drastically since then.
I've been doing this for 18 years. So can you imagine what this is going?
Goodness.
I've been doing this.
It has
this
to be another world.
It was completely another world. But the thing is, and I keep telling people, you know, the thing is, they're very lucky these days because actually there are a lot of things you can do to get your career going and that you couldn't do years ago. I mean, there was nothing.
Yes.
Either you took the rejections and kept writing or otherwise you gave up. But now,
yeah.
I mean, and you have so many things. When I was looking at your website, I mean, you have a lot. You offer a lot to people, which they need, you know, as far as what they need to learn.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a marketing a marketing strategy that if you have to give content, you have to provide valuable content, and there should be a ratio of like 75% to 25% of content to promo, but it's advisable to go like even 80, 85 to 15. The more valuable content you provide, the better. That's inbound marketing. But, I mean, you also want to promote whatever you're promoting, whether it be your services, your books, or whatever product. So that's a good rule of thumb to go by, and that's how you develop a relationship with your reader. You have to build a trust. They have to know that you're providing them with something they want or need.
Right. Karen, this is Virginia. Now, because I've revamped my website probably since I've had it in 2000, because I started my first website in 2005, and I've probably revamped it at least five times from the first way it, you know, design that it was. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I have on there right now is definitely, you know, done from some publicists that I know who've given me, you know, some really, you know, valuable information on, you know, how my bio should be, you know, set up and, you know, basically like my press, you know, online press kit for my site should look and this and that. But, like, with me, I mean, a lot of my books are children's books, and I keep ho-humming and about, because I don't want to get myself lost into a niche, and I know that's, like, one big problem with, like, a lot of children's writers. For example, like, my book, my picture book that's out, Baby Sitting Sugar Paw, happens to be about, you know, a little bear who's being babysat, doesn't like it, and just, sorry, you guys can hear my kids in the back, and just kind of what happens. So I've had, you know, quite a few people suggest, oh, well, you should put articles on there about babysitting. Well, I'm like, yeah, but what happens when my next book comes out and it has nothing to do with babysitting? You know,
yeah,
I don't want to be known as, like, this babysitting expert. So I guess, you know, I can see a lot of listeners, you know, tonight thinking, okay, it's great to have content, but, you know, where do you draw the line? Because if my readers are, you know, parents, teachers, grandparents, whoever are going to buy the, you know, children's books, you know, yeah, I can write stuff based off my books, but then am I locking myself into a niche? I mean,
that's a problem for all of us writers, because you want your site to be consistent. So if you're writing primarily for authors and writers, then you need to keep it one certain way. And, yes, you can obviously promote book reviews and things like that, your books. But, yeah, for something like that, you can't go into the babysitting realm. What I actually did, only I haven't had time to follow through with, is I created a site specifically for children called babiestotschildren.com. And I started, it was going to be initially for like health issues for children, books for children, everything children. So I could put anything I wanted in regard to children on that site, because my primary sites are writing and marketing.
Right.
And that doesn't draw the market that I need for my children's books.
See, that's you have to really specialize now in what you do, I think, because otherwise you will lose them, I think. That's what's happening, though.
That's the idea of having different sites. But I mean,
in Virginia's case, Virginia, your site is really very good because you offer so many things, and it really is defined in a very good way. So, I mean, it's not like you threw everything out there. You have everything.
It's true, Marcia, what you say, because you're talking, I mean, it depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking, which I'm assuming you're talking more about my stories for children.
You have is very defined. So I think when someone goes on your site or anything that you do specifically, you know why you're there.
Well, yeah, that's you know, that's kind of like the big, with Stories for Children magazine, obviously, it's the magazine. And, yeah, I have, you know.
Because you're doing a lot of things. There's nothing you can do when you do a lot of things.
Well, yeah, and Stories for Magazine, obviously, it's focused more on the magazine, but there's also, you know, information on there for, you know, teachers, homeschoolers, parents, kids, you know, there's links, there's book reviews, there's, you know, obviously we have a bookstore that has my books plus all of my contributors, you know, books in there, and the team, you know, any team member. And then on the Stories for Children publishing website, which is the main company website, obviously it talks about the different divisions of the magazine, and then, of course, you know, then it has the, you know, services that we offer for, you know, writers that are, you know, novice to, you know, advanced authors, depending on, you know, what they need. But for my personal website, which is kind of what I was talking about.
See, that's,
you know,
the, that's the thing.
Yeah, my author website, which is Virginia, you know, well, not Virginia, vsgrenier.com. I mean, I have stuff about Stories for Children magazine on there. I do have stuff about, you know, the World of Ink Network on there. I do have, you know, my books on there and stuff. And then, of course, some of my writing services, because, you know, authors go on to other authors' websites. But what I've done, just because, you know, like I said, I don't want to get in the niche of being like this babysitting expert advice person, is instead of offering articles and stuff that I've written, I've actually have a fun links page for kids that has links not only for, you know, links to like babysitting articles and stuff, like on how to become a babysitter, this and that. It also links to, you know, other, you know, fun kind of, you know, sites that my kids enjoy themselves. So that's kind of how I've balanced it. But I know it can be a really hard thing for someone to figure out how to find that balance.
It really is.
Well, Karen, what is this one thing that, you know, if you can tell people, what is the one thing that you really like to do and you, that's your main, you know, your forte, that you really feel that you're strong in, that you really enjoy doing?
I would say there's actually two, writing for children, specifically books. I'm not really into writing articles for children, and ghostwriting business and health articles.
Yeah.
Those are my two fortes. Although I do a lot of ghostwriting for children's books also. But, yeah, those would be my two. I do like the two things. They seem to be at odds, actually. But I'm a former accountant, so I think the business and health.
Okay. that's something very different.
You really jump from one thing to another.
Yeah. Necessity, you know, makes you do a number of things.
Well, say, like Virginia and I, I talked to her today about a few things about reviews. And I was just, you know, I mean, this is what I'm finding, that unfortunately people can only buy so many things, do so many things, but there are, it seems to be right now, so many people writing children's books, and
yes.
I think that it's getting so saturated that I don't even know what to, I mean, I have three and I have another one I want to do, but I also write screenplays and I also do adult books, but it's, you know, I love all of them. And, but I'm thinking that I can feel that with the children's market, they can't get in, people can't go to schools because a lot of the market is taken up by, you know, some of the bigger publishing houses to go to the schools. So what can they, you know, and they're trying, I think the e-books is going to work, but I think it's not ready for all kids now. It's not going to be as strong as the adult books are, but that's a new market. So that's, you know, they have to go to that, but that's going to be crowded.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's why in most marketing seminars, they tell you you need to be diversified.
Yeah.
Normally, I mean, unless you're on the bestseller list, and even then you may not make a lot of money, you don't make that much money selling books.
Right.
Unless you have some kind of fantastic marketing plan and publicist. But you need, once you're an author, they say a book is your calling card, like having a business card. You've written a book. So
right.
People,
yeah.
Though you have some kind of knowledge,
right?
That's a form of expertise.
Well, we hope that. We hope that, though. We hope.
Well, we would hope so, yeah.
Right.
It may not necessarily be true, but you'd hope so.
Right.
but that's a step for you to do. Now, with Writers on the Move, that group, we were primarily a book tour group, but we've expanded into, now we're doing articles on the group site, and we're now providing workshops. Now, workshops, teleseminars, things like that are excellent ways to build your subscriber list.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do that, right. We're thinking of doing that because we're giving a lot of information and we know a lot of information. So to help people,
yeah.
I think that's probably one of the best ways for people to go.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? A lot of people advise not to offer things for free, but my advice is offer your workshop. I mean, don't go crazy over it. An hour, half hour, an hour workshop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let it be free, but a stipulation should be that they will subscribe to your mailing list.
Yeah.
That's a very fair deal. And especially on Writers on the Move now, we're creating we're offering ebooks along with the workshops and a transcript of the workshop that will be offered for a fee to the presenter after the workshop.
Right.
So these are all little things that, you know, will, I mean, they're not going to make you rich, but they're a little
right.
bit of an income.
That's the thing, right, because people, that's the one thing that, see, that's the thing. They, if they have to pay, like, people for maybe some reviews or things like that, because what's happening now is people are reviewing books, they're doing this, they're doing that, and they're not making any money, and everybody thinks that everybody in this field is making money, which is not true, you know, but
no.
there comes a time where you have to set a limit and expect that people will give you something. I mean, I just feel lately myself, I feel like with the reviewers, I'm not a book reviewer, so I can say this. I think if you pay a reviewer, I do not think it's a bad thing. I think people need as many reviews as they can get, and I don't think a lot of reviewers, if they're going to get, like, let's say $25 or $50, are going to give you a great review just for that. I think they'll be fair, but I think I'm listening to a lot of reviewers that have been on the show and people that have been, you know, that I know. It's a lot of work. And to have somebody, not a children's book even, adult book, it's hard. And, you know.
Because their page is long, and I know, like, and I can speak totally about this because, you know, we offer book reviews for free at Stories for Children magazine. And, you know, I have five, you know, SFC book review team members who are more than happy to do it. But lately they've had to turn books down because they have stacks and stacks of books. And they don't get paid by me. They don't get paid
right.
to read. And I'm really starting to consider saying, because we have a lot of big publishers and small publishers contacting us for reviews. I mean, we have stuff coming from Abram Young Readers to Guardian Angel Publishing, who's a smaller publisher, and it's just, you know, and then self-published authors. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to say, you guys can start paying us $5, per book for reading, just to read, because...
But I don't think, something like $25. I mean, what do you think, Karen? Don't you think, like, $25 is fair for people? I mean, I'm not going to be a reviewer, but I'm just saying that I think $5 is just, I mean, $25, because it does take time.
You know what? I was a reviewer for Book Pleasures and even for Lee's The Muse review.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's time-consuming. And I've done reviews for Sylvain Dell and Enslow.
Yeah.
It's time. Even if you're doing a children's book, if you're going to do a good review, it takes time.
Yeah.
You can't, just because it's a short book doesn't mean you can, in a half an hour.
Right, exactly, right. You have to think about it for a little bit.
I agree
I have a comment from the chat room when you're ready.
Okay, so back to this, I think $25 is a fair fee for that. In fact, I think it's cheap.
Yeah, it is, but, because people are so overwhelmed these days, I mean, this is at least fair. It's something. It is not.
Exactly.
I think 50, but I do think it's fair, and I do think, because I've been doing this a long time, the one thing that I feel is that, I think the rules have to change. I mean, the rules are very old, outdated rules, and everybody in this publishing business, screenwriting business, they're all going by the old rules. Everything is different now. You have a lot of people that are out of work and that could use some money to eat. I mean, we're talking about the people that used to do very well do not do as well. And I think that by not paying for certain things, I think everybody I notice more and more people want things for free, but they're getting a very good service that they absolutely need. They need reviews. They
absolutely.
Just need them.
Okay, well, Marcia, let me just add
okay.
here. Fran Lewis is in the chat room.
Ah, there we go.
She is a reviewer. And Fran says, it takes tons of reading, hoping you understand the author's message and eye strain to do these reviews. Marcia is right.
Yep.
And she has stacks and stacks of books to do.
Yeah. I know she does because she's read over, we've done shows together. She has done over 400 books. This year.
Oh, my goodness.
And she hasn't made a dime. And the fact of the matter is she's not really asking for a lot, and she hasn't been asking for any money. But the fact is people are really coming to her now. She's getting best-selling authors that are coming. And people, I think, really should listen to these things and try to feel like, yes, they can, because I know there are people that do charge reviews, but they have big names. And that's not necessarily fair because Fran's review is a very lengthy review and they can use it as a synopsis and it really works well.
Well, that's what I do with my reviews. I don't do as many now. I don't have the time, but I make them at least 400 words so I can put them on the article directories.
Yeah.
And I post them all over for anybody that I do a review for. I put them on Goodreads. I put them on Shelfari.
Fran does the same. She does the same.
Yeah.
And so we've had
and
other reviewers.
Yeah. I do the same, too. I do reviews, too. This
yes.
is Jan. I do reviews, too. I don't do as many as everybody else, but I do them. And I do post them places for people, too.
Right.
I think it's helpful. I like to be helpful to other people, other authors.
Well, that's yeah, that's a nice courtesy thing to do. Not everybody, not all reviewers do it either.
Right.
They'll put
yeah.
it on their sites, and then you know they'll put it on Amazon for you, and that's about it.
But people could have as many should have a lot of reviews. I mean, that's what you know.
Oh, yeah.
I myself didn't get a lot of. I didn't even go for it as much. Now I'm trying to get more reviews. But the fact is, reviews are really important. Because
they
are looking at them now very high. I mean, that's a huge thing now.
Yes,
I want to jump in. This is Virginia. I just want to jump in on this as well because I think the thing that, you know, a lot of people miss about, and not just reviews, I mean, even, you know, I know, Karen, you do ghostwriting for articles and stuff, but I know some people,
yes.
you know, they'll post their articles. Because I know there's some article sites that you can post them, you can ask for money, and so people don't want to go and pay to, you know, borrow that article because they need content for their blog or website or whatever. And I sit there and think, because I have some articles on some sites like that, and I sit there and think, you know, but the time it took me to write it or when I,
right.
Yeah. for like, or for a good review, you know, prime example, after I've written it and then I go around and I post it everywhere, you know, the time that it takes, the time that it's taken away from where I could be doing a paying job as a freelance editor or doing my own personal
yeah.
writing that I get paid to do. And I don't think people are realizing that, you know, and that's kind of, it's like the whole, you know, pay it forward, you know, everybody. It's like, you want my help, then there needs to be some type of compensation in return. And I think that's the part. I mean, because even
I do agree. I do think that's really important now. And I, you know, years ago, I know on every article they go, oh, an agent. They go, an agent. Well, I, you know, I don't represent as many people as I did before because I'm very busy in my own thing and with the radio shows and everything trying to give good information. But the fact of the matter is, you know, over the years, they go, an agent shouldn't make a dime. Okay, well, so then guess what? That's why they don't get agents, because if they think an agent shouldn't get a dime, then maybe they shouldn't, because the problem is if an agent doesn't make any money and the people stop writing, most of the people that I have had as writers, they were excellent, and they were great writers. They just gave up because they couldn't stand the rejections. So, but the fact is, then you'll talk to them, they go, oh, yeah, when you sell something. Okay, when you sell something, you'll get money. And then, but mostly you don't because they don't stay in it. I've stayed in it because I'm diehard. I'm not leaving. I stay in it. But most people do not. So I think that theory of not paying an agent is why some people go, I wonder why I can't get agents. Well, and if they get an agent that paid, some of them have been very, shall we say, not really committed to it or nice or they didn't really do what they were supposed to do. So that's how it got to be the way it is. But I do think people out there that are listening should realize that if they actually paid people to do things and they'd actually get an agent that could help them, then maybe they would help their career. It's a career. It's more like management now. I mean, don't you think people need
yes.
management, Karen, or something? Like, there's something like that because they don't know what to do.
I think if there's so much information and so much that needs to be done just to promote you and your book
yeah.
that it's overwhelming. I get overwhelmed at times.
Me too. Me too.
To
me too.
Right.
I know.
And it's hard. And
yeah,
if
one person
you
can't
do
it all.
Yeah.
No, you can't. Maybe in the past, not anymore.
Right.
But,
it's different now. It is. Right.
Yeah.
It's very
there's
different.
There's too many areas to go into now.
Yeah, and that's why people, they really have a much better chance than they had before. They don't think so, but they do. Because if you write a good book, and even if it's self-published, there could be a very big audience for your book, and you might never have gotten that chance before.
Absolutely. And,
right.
you know, years ago, even when I started, when I first published the first book in 2008, there was a stigma still attached
yeah.
to
oh, my,
self-publishing.
Yeah, horrible. Yeah, yeah, it was bad.
And it's coming down. I'll tell you, it's still there a little bit, but
yeah.
it's coming down. Because I self-publish my nonfiction books on writing and marketing. And there's not as much, you know, it's going down. It's not like
yeah.
it was before. So it's
yeah,
an
I know
excellent
it is.
Ash.
Yeah. Because yeah. people are realizing that there are good books out there.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Virginia. I want to jump in back on the comment. I can't remember if it was you, Karen, or Marsha, who made the comment about how agents are more like managers. Being somebody who worked out in Hollywood, and granted, yes, I was a fashion buyer, but I did know a lot of stars. I did work with people who were trying to break into the whole movie and radio and, you know, modeling business. And believe it or not, I don't tell very many people, I actually did get into modeling for a short period of time in my early 20s. And
well, you keep going on. These guys will know so much about you.
I know. Well, what I want to
say
is
said that. It was my
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Sorry, I'm getting my baby water, so she's flipping out. Here's the thing. The people who are called agents for, you know, and sometimes they refer to them as managers as well. But in Hollywood, the agents or managers for stars, models, people who are on radio, all that kind of stuff, they get paid. Unlike agents who don't in the publishing industry, who don't get paid until they sell something.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's okay in that industry to pay them, but it's not okay in our industry to pay them. And I've never understood that concept.
Well, they don't pay agents. They don't pay agents for scripts until they're sold.
Listen, yeah, that's what I'm saying. For scripts and for books,
but
I'm talking.
Oh, you mean for talent?
Your talent agents are paid. Yeah. You pay them. They don't. Some of them. Once you get big enough, because you're big enough, they take a percentage of whatever they negotiate, just like a book does. But when you're first getting started and you're paying for your talent scout, you're paying for them.
Yeah.
It's not a huge fee, but you are paying for them to send your portfolios out of your headshots, and, you know, if you're a model, your whole entire spread to get your name known. I mean, they don't 100% do it all for free.
Yeah. Well, that's why things need to change. But, you know, Karen, you said you were an accountant. So how did you get from an accountant to be a writer and to do all this? How did that happen?
Multiple sclerosis.
Oh, well, it's not the best way then. Right? But
no. I always loved writing, so it's, you know, not a far stretch.
And so you write medical, that's what you write articles about, medical, in the medical field?
Well, I write business articles for businesses and marketers. I've done health articles, anything in that realm. You know, if somebody, I actually just got a call today from someone who's calling me after this call about doing a white paper. But he wants it done over the weekend, so I don't know if I'm going to take that job.
Karen,
yes.
This is Jan. Can you tell us about your e-book, Writing, Publishing, and Marketing, You Can Do It?
It's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It gives a lot of information on writing and publishing and marketing. It has examples in it. What?
I was going to say, can you let people know where they can go get it? Because...
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Let me just get out of where I am. Okay, you can look up my books at HTTP, you know, whatever, Karen Cioffi, KarenCioffi, that's double F as in Frank, writingandmarketing.com. And on the top, you'll see books by Karen. You can just click on that, and you'll see the books that I have available, and that will be one of them.
Okay, cool. I'll write it in the chat room.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Anybody else in the chat room wanting to ask a question?
I have no questions right now.
Okay. All right. So what would you suggest now? So all right. So then, because we've had some PR people, and and they need to do press releases. Would you say that is a good thing for people to do now? The press releases.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, you're trying to reach as many people as possible. Press releases help you do that.
Yeah.
And even with, like, saying trying to do everything yourself, I can't. I mean, I'm using Stories for Children. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of it, Virginia.
The World of Ink Tour.
For my book.
Well, yeah. I did the same, right. But that's the thing. I think those are great. And I keep telling, Virginia's going to start doing, I think, some maybe for adult books. But I really think that is something, because these are sites that people never would have gone on, and it's a very good experience to see how this works. I think it's a great thing. I think that should continue on. And I think the trailers are also another thing that are
really good. Absolutely. Audio and video.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us, Karen, your viewpoint on trailers, because I know you just had, for your newest book coming out, a book trailer done. And I've had people ask this all the time, because, you know, we do them as well at Stories for Children, at Stories for Children Publishing.
Yeah. Book trailers are important because it's a very visual world also, and you have sites like iTunes. People flock there. And everything is visibility. You know, a lot of people don't have the time to read, so you put up a podcast. They can listen to it, download it on their player, and listen to it on the go while they're doing dishes, whatever.
Virginia has it. We're on podcast, right, Virginia? You have them on iTunes.
Yeah, we're on iTunes, so people can find us if they search for World of Ink Network. And then a couple of other podcast sites pick up the Blog Talk Radio shows, and then I'm starting to submit them to other directories that Blog Talk doesn't just automatically do.
Right.
And I have found for myself, because, you know, I have from a 15-year-old to a 15-month-year-old, but when you have a 15-year-old in the house, a 6-year-old in the house, and then a 15-month-old baby in the house, it's interesting to kind of watch their expressions. And because I do book trailers, you know, I'll play them to kind of see, you know, how my son reacts and then how my two daughters react. And I think that a lot of, obviously the adult market has caught on to that, and I know that a lot of the big publishers of children's books have caught on to it because they do them, you know, for YA, at least for YA. I don't see them as much for their picture books, but I see them for their young adult novels and middle grade novels as well. And they'll play them like if you're watching like a movie premiere kind of thing.
Yeah.
And which is great because it catches my son's attention. However, I think that a lot of publishers and authors are missing the boat when it comes to chapter books, picture books, and kind of the tween novel kind of
they should have
new
it.
Area that because
every genre has to have it today.
Yes.
Yeah,
I agree.
Because when I plan for when my 6-year-old works with me, because, you know, she'll sit there, not that she does the trailer, but, you know, she'll sit there and tell me her opinion as I'm making them. When I play them back, she'll like, play it again, mommy. And I'm like, she's 6, but she loves them. She'll have me go onto YouTube and type in, you know, not even ones that I've done, that other ones that I've watched.
Yeah, they play
like,
them again, right.
Because they love them. Yeah.
I had one done for Love Changes from Carmella. I have one of them for my Love Changes is an adult book. And I really think it's a very good idea, and I think that's what people need to do. So, Virginia, you said you were going to do some of those, because I do think that's – I agree with you on that. I think it's really important because it's a way to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like the people that do screenplays to do the same.
You have a question?
Okay, let me just say that Fran has a question in the chat room. She wants to know, besides Amazon, Goodreads, and Shafari, where else can you post a review to get them noticed?
You can post it in any e-zine. That's probably your biggest, audience would be.
What was
e-zine.
That called? What is that called?
There's e-zine articles. There's associated content. There's Helium.
Helium I've heard, but not e-zine.
E-zine's
pretty good,
really
actually.
Good.
And associated content is affiliated with Yahoo.
Right, because we have Sass Ash, Suzanne Alicia. She used to be on the shows from Red River that we were on, and she does book reviews with me, and she does also, she's trying to come up with some programs for me because, that's who she worked with, Associated, I think. And the freelance articles. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's two other ones as well that you have to kind of, Virginia, that you have to get, you have to show them writing samples and stuff to get their approval. But Blog Critics and American Chronicle are two other really good ones for posting your reviews, too. Because a lot of the times, they get syndicated a lot, those two. And there's another one called Powell Books is another site.
What's it called? What was it?
Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L.
Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, see, because all of these things are the things that we all take for granted because we do this all the time, but it's out there that people don't know what to do, and that's when they get into a lot of trouble. They're so upset. They spent a lot of money, even if the ones that have self-published, and a lot of them have spent too much because they go to the wrong places, but nevertheless, it's a book, and they have to go out and market it, and they don't think they do, and they do. You know, so they have to learn this.
That's also included in the ebook that I'm offering for free for anyone who stops by who contacts me.
Okay.
So I'll just say we have Karen's both of your website links in our description, so
yep.
Everybody can look
okay.
there
okay.
for the show description. You'll see them both there. It says
okay,
sure. It says you can learn more about Karen.
Well, I think that Karen, she like she's saying, she does a lot of different things, and that's what you know. I mean, even though Virginia and this is Marcia talking, that you do a lot of things, and Jan does a lot of things, and I do a lot of things. It's never enough, and that's but we have to keep doing it. And so do everybody you know, out there. If you can't do it yourself, then they have to hire people. But they can start with doing small things and going into these, you know, getting
yeah.
some of these things done because you can't just do nothing.
No,
yeah.
And that's what a lot of my writing is geared towards that, to help those who are just starting out. Because
yeah.
I'll get a lot of questions from people who are just, you know, don't know what to do.
That's right. Exactly.
And I do a lot of my content is geared for them, you know, who are starting out.
Yeah. Now, Karen, I have a question for you. This is Virginia. I know we've been, you know, talking about stuff that we should be doing and, you know, and how it takes a lot of time and just, you know, being smart and, you know, try a few things. And then, of course, you know, if that doesn't work, try something else. But what would you say are probably, like, the top do not do or waste your time doing marketing strategies, you know, online that a lot of people do? Because, I mean, I know people who sit there on Twitter all day long, and I'm sitting there thinking, you're wasting so much of your time with all the social social groups you're tied into. That do you ever write? Because I don't see any writing happening other than Twitter.
You just answered your question. Social networking needs to be limited. Otherwise, you can spend all your time doing that,
yeah, right.
And
exactly.
You're not going to have anything to show for it aside from your network.
Right. You have a lot of friends.
A lot of friends. It's not going anywhere.
That would be my number one thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know that you can – I mean, I've cut down – because, I mean, there's, like, so many different social groups you can get involved in. It's insane. So I've limited myself to just a few, and then I have where, you know, a lot of my stuff feeds into each other, so I don't have to go to every single one.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
I streamlined the process. But, you know, I've actually been writing a blog topic at my blog, The Writing Mom at blogspot.com, about, you know, social marketing because I – I see some people, I mean, I'm on there, but even though there's a lot of posts on there for me, again, my stuff all kind of, I send it from one spot and it just populates out. So it looks like I'm on there
yeah.
all the time, though, even though I'm not. But I know some people are literally on there all the dang time. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
it's a necessity, but you can't take it to the extreme. It's just too time consuming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a necessity, right, but limiting it because
exactly.
otherwise it becomes right.
Well,
and then you're not going to write.
You know what I've noticed authors are doing now and writers are taking the summers off or taking randomly whenever they need the time. They'll take off a month or two from their social networking completely
yeah.
to do their writing. That's how bad it's gotten.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I do that with my newsletter. I actually am going to be taking next month off for my newsletter because I can't do every single division of Stories for Children constantly. So I always take July off from the newsletter since it's a monthly
newsletter.
Right,
we did say we're going to do this with the show, too. I think we're going to,
limit
the amount.
Yeah, we're going to take July off and part of August from this show as well.
Yeah, well, because
yeah,
only
I do it
because,
with my
right.
Mm-hmm.
What
it's
was that,
too
Karen?
Much.
I
do it with Writers on the Move also. We take
yeah,
a summer hiatus.
That, yeah. Yeah, I think, well, that's what happens because, you know, you need to have some, you know, I talked to somebody yesterday that has been on my shows and she's really funny and I like her. We were talking and she said she's going on a vacation and her husband said no computer. I mean, her family said no computers, nothing, not taking it. She said, but she's sneaking her cell phone because you can still do Facebook or something on this. You can check your email. But they said no computers. It's because that's what's happened. We are consumed and we are working a lot more than we should. I know myself.
Oh, it's nonstop.
Yeah, it is.
You could be doing this 24/7.
No,
crazy.
Right. You are right. And
my husband will text me 12 o'clock at night and tell me go to bed.
I know. Okay, I'm up till 2 and 3, and then, you know, and Fran Lewis, who is in the chat room, that's when she gets up because she's up really early. So I see her when I'm getting ready to stop. She's beginning.
So
we're all, yeah. But that's the thing. I think that a lot of these things will be changing because we're all figuring out that, oh, no, we cannot keep doing this.
it's not healthy.
No, I think that.
Yeah,
something's
got to
get somewhere.
Much, you know?
Yeah.
What was it, Dan?
Not moving around enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, people always comment about my hours because I work really weird hours. I literally have my days are 18 to 20 hour days. I work better with less sleep, which most of us are shocked to hear. If I get more than 6 hours of sleep, you don't want to be around me because I'm like somebody who's probably like 1 hour of sleep generally more sleep.
Yeah.
So you know, four to six is about what I sleep.
Yeah.
If I can get it in, so that's why I can work 18-20 hour days and be fine. But when I say that, everybody's got to realize that, you know, when I say I work 18 to 20 hour days, that includes my family life since I am a stay-at-home mom. So I tend to work from like 6 o'clock in the morning till about almost 10 o'clock in the morning, and then I shut down and don't get back on the computer, you know, full force again until usually after 3 o'clock, because I spend that whole early morning and early afternoon or mid-morning and early afternoon with my kids doing stuff with them and spending time with them.
Right.
And you do have to balance it. I mean, even if you don't have children in your home, you need to balance your life.
You have to, and I think what is happening, though, is I think all of us that are doing all of this, I mean, because this does take away from writing. And, you know, I think one of my friends, she said to me, she goes, you're doing all this. I go, didn't you say I should do PR? And a year and a half ago, I've been doing, like, tons of PR. But now I have a lot of PR, and I've done it. And it's something I did. But now I want to write some more but it does take a long time to do PR. So people have to do some of it. You can't do, like we said before, nothing. But after you get to a certain point, you can do PR, but you cannot do it 24 hours. It's just too much, you know.
All the coaches tell you to create a management sheet. What you're going to do during the week, and try to stick to it. Like you'll do an hour of social networking, 2 hours of writing. Even if you get in 15 minutes a day, it's something. Of course, this stuff can just suck the time right out of
it. It does.
It's crazy.
Right. Like sometimes I'll look and I go, oh, it's like 11 o'clock. Then I go look and I go, oh, it's like 1:30. What happened? And then I go, okay, I can do it for another half hour, so I can do it till like 2 o'clock.
Well, that's why I do all my PRing that I do online for the World of Ink tours. I do in the morning, and I know, like, depending on how many authors I have a month, and that's why, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there, companies out there like, oh, they'll take as many authors who will sign up. And I'm like, that's great. I'm glad that you don't want to have life, because I know I can't do more than four. Because,
exactly.
I'm going to burn out my hosts. And, I mean, all the hosts do this for free, and that's not fair to them. And then, two, I'm going to burn myself out, because it literally takes me just, like, this month. It's me and Margaret Fink who are doing the World of Ink tour in June right now. And, obviously, I focus more on her than I do myself because, you know, I'm touring myself at my own tour. So, you know, I obviously am giving Margaret more of my time.
Yes, I've noticed you doing yourself.
Well, that's, you know, because she's paying for my service. But it literally takes me, when I just have two people, anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, depending on how hard I push it in the morning, to, you know, to really share what, you know, where their thoughts is that day everywhere. And when I have four people, it takes me like 3 to almost 4 hours. I mean, it's like almost an hour per person. It's just crazy how much time you spend.
No,
I know social marketing, you know, obviously you don't want to overdo it, and definitely it's easy to do. Is there anything else that you would say, Karen, is like a really big, you know, don't do it or you're going to burn yourself? I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to be posting on there that, you know, you got a rejection from somebody and who they are and you hate them because, publisher will never publish you again. But, I mean,
that assemblyman's, the politician that was just put online. Things get around. You don't want it around.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, but I mean, what else should people be aware of when they're building their online platform?
Don't overstretch yourself. Don't dilute yourself.
Yeah.
That's important. I'm a prime example. I have four or five sites. One was on health, one's children, two are marketing. You can't do it all.
And if you keep diluting yourself, you're not going to become an expert in anything. So
yeah.
I kind of, I do have five sites. One is my writing services site.
Yeah, so that's,
I'm sorry?
No, that, I'm saying, right, that you can't, that you're going to be diluted as writing.
No,
that's
you can't because everything suffers for it. So I would say start with one specific site and make the site that will grow, make the title of that site that will grow with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I started out, I co-authored the book with my daughter, Robin Feltman. So I put, my title of my site was Karen and Robin Writing for Children. Since then, I mean, I don't write for her anymore, and I'm gone on to much different things. I have my own book now. So I had to get a different site. And, you know, then you have to start over with, you know, establishing that site. Start with a site that will grow with you, whether it's your author name or whether if you're going to be sticking to one particular genre, writing to children, you know, make the title keyword specific.
Yeah.
Very important, even the subheading.
That's why
I
put all of mine into Michigan Avenue Media now because that is what I am now. But I started out with one site, then another site, my Marcus Bryan, and they're all together because it got it's too much.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah, so now it's
so
all under one umbrella.
Yeah. Well, now what I do is I only write one article a week, and I have either reviews or links to articles on Fridays, and I have guest posts on Wednesdays. And then I take the article that I do once a week, and I post it on my other site. And the other sites are just neglected.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
It's too much.
All right, so now I think what people have learned, though, and that's why it's really great that you talked about all this, because this was very good, but the fact, this is Marcia talking, because then they know that they have to really do, I mean, because the way we're putting it today is the way it really needs to be done. You have to, there's no choice.
You have to do some of it.
If
you want to get anywhere, you have to, unfortunately. I wish there was
an easier way.
Right.
And now you don't have to, and see, the thing is, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars to do it. You can do it.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So
there are a lot of avenues open to new writers.
Yeah. I think that's a very good, you know, that's really what people should take from this, is that you have to try to do things. If you don't want to pay someone, then you have to learn how to do this by yourself. And you can learn, though. I've taught myself how to do a lot of this.
There's so much information out there telling you exactly what to do for free.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's a
good
thing.
So, you know, they at least have help in it.
Yes.
It's been great. We're at our hour, so I wanted to say it's been great having you on the show, Karen. I mean, I enjoy being a part
it's
of our
terrific.
Move,
yeah.
and I look forward to when I get to, you know, come back after the summer and join back up with you guys after I get myself caught up with my loads of paperwork.
It's been a pleasure, ladies.
Yeah.
It's been great. It's been really great.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yes. Thank you. And then for everybody who's listening, again, it's Karen's site to go check out the ebooks and the one that she's offering for free, which I need to find the title again.
But if they want to, this is how
writing,
she spells her last name, because if you look up Karen, KarenCiofffi, then she's got a lot of, you know, if you go in and Google her, you'll find everything about her.
Yeah,
she's got a lot.
Anyone who wants the book can just email me at KarenCiofffi@ymail.com.
Okay.
And
the name of the book, everybody.
I'll be happy to send the book to them.
Okay. And the name of the book, everybody, again, is Writing, Publishing, and Marketing.
Writing.
You Can Do It.
That's
it. And it's a great book because it's, I want to say, you had, it was a brief from Writers on the Move to help contribute to the book, right? Or most of
I'm
us.
Sorry?
Not that one? Okay,
no.
Not that one. Okay.
No.
What one's that one?
That's
I'm
a different
so confused.
One.
Okay, it's a different one. There's another one. If you go look up Writer on the Move, which is that blog spot, they have one there, too. That's a good one, too, to go check out. There's like two.
Yeah, that's writersonthemove.com. I changed the name on that one, too.
Oh, is it? And now it's .com.
I've been a busy
bee. It's been busy on me, everybody. So that's it. And then just so everybody knows, next week, I totally screwed up my date, so there is actually a Stories for Children show with myself and Chris Crane Christopherson and Irene Roth. We'll have Margaret Fink, who's our guest at the World of Ink Tours, with us, talking about her three new released children's books, and we'll be talking about her blog tour, and she's also offering a really fun adventure ebook to those who are following her tour, so we'll be talking about that and how you can win a free e-book, win the free ebook. And then Tuesday,
Fran
Marcia,
I have Fran Lewis is going to be. Yeah, we're going with Gerald D. Marag. I think it's Marigny, and it's The Watchman of a Friar. It's going to be a good show. Fran, you know, Fran and I will be doing the show with him, and it'll be an hour show. It's on Tuesday, but our time, my time, is going to be different. It's 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central.
Okay, and that's a good. That's for a good story. It's a good story.
Yes.
And then we have a new show debuting on Wednesday.
Yes, I just saw that myself.
Yes, which is called Kids Speak Out World, and I'm not going to even try and botch Keisha's last name because it's not in front of me, and so I know I won't get it right. So I won't do it to her, but I'm really excited about the show because the co-host who's joining me, Keisha, is phenomenal. She's actually a school counselor and does a lot with kids and the things that they deal with in school, such as bullying, which is what the first show is going to be about. But we will talk about different subjects, and it is a monthly show, so it only is once a month. So that's our new show, and we'll see how it does. I'm not sure if I'll be doing it every month, but we at least have through the summer months some topics, Keisha and I, that we're going to be hitting for sure. So that's Wednesday. And then Friday we'll be here again for the Writing Mama show. And we have an author coming who will be talking about teenage issues and his book. His name's Cal, and I don't remember his last name either off the top of my head. This is what happens when I'm not in my office and I'm looking on top of my living room. But the name of his
book you're not
is called
in the mall.
I know. The name of his book is called Life is Not a Candy Store, and it basically is teaching kids, that teenagers, that the real life, you know, mom and dad aren't going to be there basically to hold your hand, and how to get themselves self-confident to deal with the real world. So those are the shows lined up for this week. It's been great having everybody here listening.
It's been great, Jan. Thank you, Virginia.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Karen, very much.
Thank you.
You were very helpful. Very helpful to new writers out there.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Right.
Have a good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Yes, have
good
a good night and a great weekend.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Me to the world of ink.